Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known light body whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit gracegholm.com. That's Grace, GHOM.com.
Okay, we're live. Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to Healing Glaucoma. This is part two, and if you haven't watched part one, you can check that out. It's on my YouTube channel, Grace G. Holm. It's also on my podcast, my Light Body Wisdom podcast is in hosted on Transformation Talk Radio. So lots of ways to receive all this healing energy for everything I do. And I know that I'm also live on Facebook now, and I see people on Facebook, so that's great. And so I am going to do some more healing. The last time brought up a lot of underlining issues for people about what's going on with glaucoma. Besides diet, and you know, I know everybody is on a different diet, so we can't blame it all on diet, even though you're all from different places in the world and everybody eats different food, but you all have glaucoma. So the commonality cannot be food, right? The commonality cannot be food. So, and it's not all hereditary. And so what are all the underlying emotional issues in your lives that are creating these problems? And as I am asking the questions are not like finger pointing, blame, blame, blame. The questions are just to bring up the energy that would allow you to receive the healing. So allow whatever issues come up to come up. You may not know them. So as I was tuning into all of you and glaucoma, why people who are very conscious and very aware of diet and everything still develop this condition. So I'm getting how this pressure is building up in the eyes, right? And the eyes, as you all know, is related to kidneys and kidney meridian, and it's element water. And the element water in Chinese medicine is related to the archetypal energy of the philosopher, the part of you that has deep wisdom that knows. And why would that build up issues for your eyes? And I think it's often that people like yourself who are visionaries, people like yourself who are very articulate and sensitive to things around you, you have a knowing, but that knowing, that wisdom is not always received, right? So imagine taking a breath and imagine, keep on taking a breath, keep on taking a breath, but not being able to let go. And in what situation in your life is your wisdom just expanding, expanding, but yet it goes nowhere? So many of you may be healers in hiding. You have all this knowledge. You've been taking it in, taking it in, taking it in knowledge, taking in information from this workshop, from this healer, from that, from that, from that, taking it in, taking it in. And you haven't had time to let go and process and allow for this to flow into the world in a way that's honoring of you, in a way that allows people to really receive from you And so water always flows and just seeks more places to flow. And why isn't it being received, right? So imagine yourself, your wisdom being an ocean. What do people require in order to partake in that wisdom? You need to create a container, like a cup so you can drink from the ocean of wisdom, or a bottle so you can bottle and keep some of it for a while. So, how does this relate to your personal life? Where is your wisdom, your energy, who you are, just not flowing? And I get some of you may be in tough relationships and tough families where nobody listens to you. That creates the bottling up effect where your energy, your wisdom has no place to go, but bottle up, bottle up. And you may be in a situation that I was in when I was looking at healthcare. I have so many ways of looking at healing, as you all know, that's why you're here. I have so many different ways of understanding the body, how it heals, but in a certain setting, I have to be quiet. When I was working in healthcare, I have to be quiet about everything because if I said anything, it goes nowhere. That creates a lot of internal pressure. It's why I was medicated just to be able to go to work. So that's an example from my own life, how internal pressure builds up, and you have what is known as a visionary, someone with wisdom that is still seeking not only expression, but it's seeking a way to be received, right? Like lots of water. Water is good to water the plants. Water provide whomever is thirsty. So you got to look for what garden, what is your tribe, right? That's the garden of your being. And I think that many of you have put yourself in the wrong place. Like, you can be the beautiful lotus. Beautiful lotus in a desert, not gonna happen. So I feel a sense that that is going on in your lives. And I know this is such a outrageously different way to look at glaucoma, but I am again looking at just the energetics and how it relates to you all. And I think that it would make sense if you just tune into what this is saying to you about your life. Where are you simply not allowed to be you? And I get that some of you have a lot of things you want to express, but you do it in such a way that nobody gets you. And so maybe they already think that you're angry and they don't want to hear you because you communicate such anger, or you communicate such sadness, or you do, or you're so afraid to communicate that everything is perceived by others as manipulation. And everything just stops when I said that. And I get it, it's really hard to be misunderstood, that, right? If other people perceive your message as manipulation or as BS, then it's not being received. So it's like the outflow of energy is pushing back at you, nowhere to go. That's a hard place to be. And some people literally say you are between a rock and a hard place. And that's often relationships, the closest relationships in our lives, marriage, children, heaven forbid, or marriage and children, or if you work in a corporation, you may be someone who's in Mid-management has the hardest job. You got to please people above you and you got to please people below you. That's really like between a rock and a hard place. And I think the Japanese even have a word for it, and I don't remember the word, to name this phenomenon where people in middle management who are not used to that, you know, they tend to have high suicide rates, you know? So, okay. Let's clear all that I bring up right now because we don't want to talk about such a, well, it's good to bring painful things up no matter how they feel, because when you can talk about it, when you can talk about it, it no longer has power over you. So if you've been in such a hard place, whether it's in your relationship, in your life, in your work, any relationship that makes you feel like, that makes you feel like you want to kill someone or kill yourself. That's a hard place to be. So whatever that is in your life right now, just tune into that so that you don't have to go kill somebody or kill yourself. Oh. Okay, so I'm going to give more specific orders. Think about the person you just want to kill. And then we're going to bring some love and harmony, some way to just allow the anger, the pressure to be released. So don't go kill your wives, but bring up that wife if it's your wife. If your child, bring up that child. If that child is an adult now and they're acting like a child, that's, I would want to kill them too. So anywhere where your messages are just not being heard, where you just don't feel respected and heard and understood, that creates a lot of pressure. And I know that you guys, being very sensitive and loving people, you tend to use subtle language, and that is being perceived by others as manipulation. And you may be the sort of person who actually uses gift giving in order to get what you need, that is perceived as manipulation. So you can do the nicest thing. And I know that when you're being bullied, one of the ways we handle bullies is that we want to calm their energy, buy their trust. So we do gift giving with people who bully us in order to neutralize or calm their nasty energy. And that, of course, is being perceived by them as manipulation. Because it is. You want to manipulate them to be a nicer person. Does it ever work? Fuck no. So all the ways you try to befriend a certain person in your life, whether it's your boss, or sometimes it's not your boss, sometimes it's someone who works for you, who can be nasty and do a lot of passive aggressive work, right? So you can be the supervisor in a factory, and if half the people don't want to be there and they messed up all the time, you have to clean up after them because you're the boss. That's awful too. So it's not just hierarchy, it's a difficult communication of all kinds. So the pressure in those situations, bring all that up so I can be clear. And then why it hurts our body and our eyes is that we internalize all that frustration and make it something about us. So then the bully that you try to manipulate to be a nicer person, that person will only see you as a sucker or as an easy person to manipulate, you know? So it never changes, and that's why it's so hard. Then the pressure builds up, like, you know, water wants to be released and flow, but sometimes it goes nowhere. It hits a wall with some people, literally, then it comes back to you, right? And it's a very difficult relationship you're in. The problem people in our lives, let me tell you. And I get it. There's even a study that shows that, you know, by Dr. Romani, who studies narcissist and narcissistic relationships, she even said that many of the characteristics of a narcissist is like the handbook for being success in the world today, which means that every other person is looking for someone who's not a very nice boss. That's very hard. And your rent or your mortgage and your children's tuition all depend on cooperating with this person. That's very hard. And you want to be a civilized person, but it's hard to be a civilized person around someone who isn't, right? It's very hard. So let's clear all that. Oh, yeah, nothing funny about having this issue. So all that pressure that goes nowhere, right? So your words goes nowhere, comes back to you. Your energy goes nowhere, comes back to you. Your anger goes nowhere, comes back to you. All forms of communication just bounce off the walls, goes nowhere, builds up pressure inside. So whatever that may be for you and your life, let's clear all that. And let's turn up those release valves and let things go. Clearing up liver, gallbladder, meridian. And there's this teaching in some alternative communities that drives me crazy, where you're almost not even allowed to see anything bad or anything negative because you'll get blamed for it. And it goes something like this. Like, I used to do this. I was in this community long, long time ago when the younger Bush was president. And I'm like, oh my God, we need to take care of all the evil in the world. The world's becoming evil, run by evil people. And then somebody said, if you see it, it's because it's in you. No, that is horrible because it takes away what is true. You can have awareness of what's going on, but the forced self-identification with it creates destabilization. And I get it, when we were all young, we have self-identification with anyone who has power over us, like old parents, because we're dependent on them for survival. But if we keep on doing self-identification with anything and everyone, and be blamed for being able to spot what's wrong with the world, it takes away, it destabilizes you, it's infantilizing, because it puts you back in that stage in your life when you were an infant and have to do this self-identification. And that also keeps you from being the observer, the one who can see clearly, then you're going to be afraid to see anything clearly and speak up because you'll be blamed for it. That's what gaslighters depend on, to put everything back on the victim so that they don't have to take responsibility. Responsibility is then flipped around and you are blamed for seeing things, and they take away your role as the observer and confuse and distort the narrative, making you the perpetrator and the victim at the same time. That narrative distortion creates perceptual distortions about you if you internalize them, and that perceptual distortion creates visual distortions of all kinds on many, many levels of your being. So all those perceptual distortions that come from forced identification with everything evil and negative in the world, dear God. This is so hot. I'm getting like so hot. Let me know in the chat box if you can relate to that. And if you can't, then I'll move over to the next thing. Yeah, have you all been in that situation where someone says, if you spot it, then you got it. If you see it, then it's in you. Oh, that forced self-identification with everything negative to a point where it paralyzes you because it flips the narrative, making you the perpetrator and the victim at the same time. That is pretty nasty stuff, right? Very nasty stuff. So would you like to release all that now? Clear that up from our vision, from our eyesight. And if that contributes to anybody's glaucoma, you have internalized a lot of that. Yeah, if anybody can relate to that, just say yes in the chat box or say yes on Facebook. Yeah, there's comments, Facebook comments, or the chat box here in Zoom so that I know you get it. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. So here, all the pressure that's built up by all those negative projections, all those forced receiving, all those narrative distortions that are projected upon you that create all kinds of visual distortions, not just glaucoma, but if you have glaucoma, you probably have been forced into those difficult situations in your life. And if you are overtrained to just see nice things and nice side of people and not even allowed to see that something may be wrong in this relationship, but you're not allowed to see it, let's clear that up. All forced identification with everything negative, everything evil, everything bad that actually should be never about you, but you're forced to receive that. Oh. And if you are in a very difficult situation where you're constantly abused that way, let's bring some healing to those situations, family, relationship, workplace, dynamics. If you work for a narcissistic, sociopathic boss, oh Lord. If you're married to one, oh dear God. If you work for one and married to one and have a child who turns out to be like that too, oh my. Now that's really living in a contrast of what you're here to experience, right? I love that thought from Abraham and Hicks about how we're born into the contrast of what we really want to experience. And this contrast makes you realize what you really want. My gosh, how many of you are now experts in living in a contrast instead of really getting what you want in life? Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So that energy that created you to choose, well, you didn't choose consciously, but before you were born, you choose this life. To help remind you of the power of what you really want, which is the opposite, right? The contrast. Good. And now this is thing about moving ahead in the future, where when you use the past and you don't consciously use the past to create your future, but most of the world use the past to create their future. So let's clear everything that you're using to repeat your life, actually. So all the places in your life that are on auto respond mode. And if you're used to people mirroring back to you how difficult life is, you're gonna change programs internally. So we're gonna take a minute to really go do some serious theta work to reprogram the subconscious. And you can do this by using eye movements. That way you're in control. So I don't just put you in theta. I do a different way of working with the subconscious so that you're still in control, because I know how much you like to stay in control. And we're gonna do figure eights with our eyes. That way you know whether you truly need to have that reprogram or not. And then you can choose whether you want to reprogram or not. So we're gonna do figure eights with our eyes, where you look up, upper left, lower left, then upper right, lower right, back up to upper left. But do it without turning your head. So please do it with the eyes so that the optic nerve, the whole eyes get movement and not so much just your whole head, okay? So let's just do it with your eyes. And now you're gonna do, I am choosing to see a bright, beautiful, prosperous future. I'm choosing to see and perceive and have a bright, beautiful, prosperous future for me. I am choosing now to have, to see, to perceive my own beauty and my own magnificence. I am totally choosing to see, to perceive, and to really have my own back, to have a beautiful future, and to have a wonderful life. I am choosing to have, to see, and to perceive an amazing life of beauty, joy, prosperity, and success in all areas of my life. And I now choose to see that my energy, my being, my words all receive what love, what understanding, what respect. Oh, this one's really hitting home for some of you, isn't it? Okay. So I am choosing to see that my words, my energy, my whole being is received what love, what respect, and even what a deep reverence for my life. And keep on doing this one if you're around lots of problem people. Not a fun situation to be in, to have your own being not receive what love, not receive what respect, not receive what reverence. It makes you feel unsafe, unwelcome, unheard, unseen, unloved, right? And I don't have to explain that part to you, but you know what I mean. You totally get it. So yeah, make a practice of seeing that I see and perceive and really have this amazing energy that others are now able to see and receive with total love and respect. Very good. Very, very good.
Thank you for shining your light and weaving grace into the fabric of the world. For more on my work, please visit gracegham.com or lightbodywisdom.com. Thank you and namaste.